Kunja Bihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Gope Jana Valabha Gire Varadare. Gope Jana Valabha Gire Varadare. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tera Vanachare. Yamuna Tera Vanachare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Gope Jana Valabha Gire Varadare. Gope Jana Valabha Gire Varadare. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tera Vanachare. Yamuna Tera Vanachare. Jaya Radha Madhava Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Gope Jana Valabha Gire Varadare. Gope Jana Valabha Gire Varadare. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tera Vanachare. Yamuna Tera Vanachare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare.
Sharon Vishnu Para Paramahamsa Parivraja Kachara Shuddha Shishimad Sibhaktivedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are reading from 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 25th chapter entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana, text 28. Tvam Hri Bhavani Asi Atha Vag Rama Patim Vichinvati Kim Munivad Raho Vane Tvad Angri Kamapta Samasta Kamam Kva Padma Kosha Patita Karagrat. Tvam Hrir Bhavati Asyatavag Ramapatim. Tvam Hrir Bhavati Asyatavag Ramapatim. Vichinvati Kim Munivadra Hovanem. Vichin vati ki munivadra hovanem. Tvad angri kama pada samasta kamam. Tvad angri kama pada samasta kamam. Kva padma kosha patita karagrat. Kva padma kosha patita karagrat. Tvam hrir bhavanti asya atavag ramapatim. Vichinvati kim munivadra hovanem. Tvad angri kama pata samasta kamam. Kva padma kosha patita karagrat. Tvam hrir bhavanti asya atavagrama patim. Vichin vati kim munivadra hovanem. Tvad angri kama pata samasta kamam. Kva padma kosha patita karagrat. Tvam hrir bhavati asya atavagrama patim. Vichin vati kim univadra hovanem. Tvad angri kama pata samasta kamam. Kva padma kosha patita karagrat. Thank you. Samastakaman Kva Padma Kosha Patita Karagra. Ladies, Tvam, you, Hri, Shyness, Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, Asi, R, Atha, rather, Vak, Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, Rama, the goddess of fortune, Patim, husband, Vichinvati, searching after, thinking of, Kim, are you, Munivat, like a sage. Raha. In this lonely place. Vane, in the forest. Tvat angri, your feet. Kama, desiring. Apta, achieved. Samasta, all. Kamam, desirable things. Kva, where is? Padmakosha, the lotus flower. Patita, fallen. Kara, of the hand. Agrat, from the front portion of palm. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear girl, you're exactly like the goddess of fortune, or the wife of Lord Shiva, or the goddess of learning, the wife of Lord Brahma. Although you must be one of them, I see that you're loitering in this forest. Indeed, you're as silent as the great sages. Is it that you're searching after your own husband? Whoever your husband might be, simply by understanding that you're so faithful to him, he will come to possess all opulences. I think you must be the goddess of fortune, but I do not see the lotus flower in your hand. Therefore, I'm asking you, where have you thrown that lotus? Purport. Everyone thinks that his intelligence is perfect. Sometimes one employs his intelligence in the worship of Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva, in order to obtain a beautiful wife. Sometimes, when one wants to become as learned as Lord Brahma, he employs his intelligence in the worship of the goddess of learning, Sarasvati. Sometimes, when one wishes to become as opulent as Lord Vishnu, he worships the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. In this verse, all these inquiries are made by King Puranjana, the living entity who is bewildered and does not know how to employ his intelligence. Intelligence should be employed in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as one uses his intelligence in this way, the goddess of fortune automatically becomes favorable to him. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, never remains without her husband. Lord Vishnu, consequently, when one worships Lord Vishnu, he automatically obtains the favor of goddess of fortune. One should not, like Ravana, worship the goddess of fortune alone, for she cannot remain long without her husband. Thus her other name is Chanchala, or restless. In this verse, it is clear that Puranjana is representing our intelligence while he is talking with the girl. He not only appreciated the shyness of the girl, but actually became more and more attracted by that shyness. He was actually thinking of becoming her husband, and consequently was asking her whether she was thinking of her prospective husband or whether she was married. This is an example of boga icha, the desire for enjoyment. One who is attracted by such desires becomes conditioned in this material world, and one who is not so attracted attains liberation. King Puranjana was appreciating the beauty of the girl as she were the goddess of fortune, but at the same time he was careful not to understand that the goddess of fortune cannot be enjoyed by anyone else except Lord Vishnu. Since he doubted whether the girl was the goddess of fortune, he inquired about the lotus flower she was not holding. The material world is also the goddess of fortune because the material energy works under the direction of Lord Vishnu, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Mayadhyakshana prakriti suyate sacharacharam. The material world cannot be enjoyed by any living entity. If one so desires to enjoy it, he immediately becomes a demon like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu or Kamsa. Because Ravana wanted to enjoy the goddess of fortune, Sita Devi, he was vanquished with all his family. Wealth and opulence, one can however enjoy that Maya bestowed upon the living entity by Lord Vishnu. The satisfaction of one's senses and desires means enjoying Maya, not the goddess of fortune. Mama gyana timirandasya gnanjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shnevadi Paschatire Shitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirvaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Tvam hrir bhavanti asyata vagrama patim vichinvati kim munivadra hovane tvadangri kama apta samasta kamam kva padma kosha patita karagrat. My dear beautiful girl, you're exactly like the goddess of fortune or the wife of Lord Shiva or the goddess of learning, the wife of Lord Brahma. Although you must be one of them, I see that you're loitering in this forest. Indeed, you're as silent as the great sages. Is it that you are searching after your own husband? However, whoever your husband may be, simply by understanding that you are so faithful to him, he will come to possess all opulences. I think you must be the goddess of fortune, but I do not see the lotus flower in your hand. Therefore, I'm asking you, where have you thrown that lotus? Here Puranjana is continuing his journey through the forest, which basically represents the material world. Forest, or many times we understand Srila Prabhupada also would emphasize ocean represent the material world. So either forest or ocean, both are very dangerous and entangling. And to come out of it, it's very difficult. Of course, nowadays there are hardly any big forests anymore. That's another topic. But still, person can understand, once entering the forest and not finding any means of getting out, may become very, very dangerous. Because staying in any unknown place generates fear and uncertainty. And this is something that everybody here in this material world experiences to one degree or another. So Puranjana here is wandering through the forest and he's actually searching for enjoyment. Initially, what had been described, King Puranjana was killing so many animals, and the ultimate goal of such kind of activities was to bring him satisfaction, heavenly good karma, opulence, because he thought that by performing different yagyas, by killing such kind of animals in sacrifices, he will attain that supreme goal of ultimate happiness. But here in the forest, we also have to understand it is a very dangerous place that provides definitely some enjoyment, but it's also very detrimental in many different ways. In Mahabharata also there is one interesting story that illustrates such kind of a search for happiness. It's a very nice story wherein one huge forest, one person or a brahmana just got lost. He entered into the big forest and he got lost in that forest. And then he was trying to find his way out. But we know how it is in the jungle. It's very difficult, especially after or even during the rainy season, where so many creepers and leaves, when it becomes very thick, you can't see much in front of you, you can't see behind, you can't see in any way. It can become very fearful. Of course, if you're in illusion and think that everything is wonderful and nice, then such kind of place, you know, may provide some kind of satisfaction. But every person initially basically senses some kind of a fear, because just by understanding that this is a forest, any sane person would try to get out of it as soon as possible. Of course, here people in the material world, they don't understand that it is a dangerous place. They think it's a place of enjoyment, a place where we can find happiness, where we can remain forever in a blissful state. So this is the illusion that everybody is put in while trying to enjoy this material world. So in the forest, Srila Prabhupada also in Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that there is an interesting example of a deer. The deer also lives in the forest, but there are also many ferocious animals. He gives an example that in the Bhagavatam it is given actually that there is a hunter also in front of the deer trying to shoot that deer to kill it. But there is also a tiger behind of that deer. But deer is very nicely eating grass, fresh grass at the dawn. There is some, how you call it, dew on the grass, which makes it very juicy and palatable. And deer is enjoying, but it's not aware actually that this forest is filled with so many different kinds of dangers and which may quit its life at any moment. So in similar way that Brahmana was actually trying to enjoy initially when he entered the forest, he found it to be a very nice place, very green place, pleasing to the eyes, with a lot of roots and flowers. But then he heard the tiger in a far distance and he starts running. He awakened at that particular point and he starts running faster and faster and faster. But then he heard that the tiger is running after him. He heard tiger running behind. And then he started running faster and faster and faster, and then he trampled over the roots and he trampled over some creepers and he being bruised and wounded, still he was trying to escape, and he with all fullest endeavor he was just trying to run away, and he already felt the blow of the tiger's breath on his neck. And just at that moment when actually the tiger was about to catch him, he trampled again and he got entrapped in one creeper which kind of swinged him further and kept him remaining hanging above one particular pit. So then he thought, wow, I'm safe. And he felt relief. He saw the tiger couldn't catch him. The tiger remained on the beginning of that pit actually, on the edge of the pit. So now, hanging on that particular string, or the creeper, the Brahmana was trying to find a means how to disentangle himself, how to save himself. But then he saw that actually tiger is still waiting. And then he became very, of course, fearful again and depressed. And then he thought, maybe if I cut somehow or other this string, if I can somehow disentangle myself, then if I fall down into the pit, then maybe after some time tiger will go away and I'll be able to come out and get out of that particular forest altogether. But then he saw there was a big snake down in the pit. Big, huge snake, which was just waiting for him actually to fall down. And then he became even more worried. He said, wow, there is no means of escape. How will I get out of this particular situation? And then he thought, hey, maybe if I climb up the tree, because that particular creeper was hanging from the tree above that particular pit. And then he thought, if I climb up, then maybe I will be safe. But it was very difficult for him because he was hanging upside down. I say, ulta pulta. He was hanging on upside down. He couldn't really manage to climb up. But simultaneously, what was happening, at that particular tree, there was a honeycomb. The bees had their house there. And those bees also, when they saw the person who was disturbing by his movements, the branch where they were staying, they rushed down and they start biting that particular Brahmana. So Brahmana was suffering in pain. Not just mental pain, knowing what is expecting him while trying to get out of that particular situation, but also he experienced such a terrible pain directly being bitten by those bees. But somehow or other, from that particular branch, the honey was also dripping. And then he was also thirsty and hungry, and he opened his mouth and he was getting some drops of honey, and he found great pleasure in this. And he was thinking, oh, so nice, so sweet. But again, simultaneously, he was suffering. But still, again, he was trying to find some enjoyment in that particular situation. Another thing that he realized, on that branch itself, as he was trying to enjoy that honey, there were two rats that lived there, black and white rat. And they were slowly eating the creepers. And as he was trying to enjoy, they came upon that particular creeper on which he was hanging, and they started slowly chewing upon it. So now he realized actually that any moment that creeper will break, at any moment I will fall down into that pit where the snake is and end my life. So that particular story illustrates that those two rats represent the day and night. That by day and night, actually, our duration of life gets shorter, and at any moment the death may await us. And that little pleasure that we find in this material world by taking some honey, few drops of honey, it's something that we think is the ultimate goal of life. And we disregard the whole entire environment that we are finding ourselves in, like that big, great, dark, frightening forest, wherein so many dangers are awaiting us. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, he would very often quote the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Natesham. At every moment, at every step, there is a danger. But we are not aware of it. We are still falsely thinking that we can enjoy, that we can be happy in this material world. Disregarding the so many different signs that we are experiencing on a daily basis, we suffer from the basic three miseries, adhyatmik, adibhautik, adidaivik. And at every moment, there is some kind of miseries awaiting us. There will be always somebody to give us some kind of a misery, some person. Adibhautik. Every now and then, somebody will come and tell us the things which we don't like to hear. And somebody will force us to do things which we don't like to do. And somebody will enforce upon us some kind of physical pain that we don't like to experience. It's inevitable. And that every now and then again we'll suffer from the miseries imposed upon us by the material nature. Heat, cold, extreme heat, extreme cold, floods, rain, earthquakes. It's inevitable. But we forget, that's our disease. That's actually along with this lust that is discussed here in this particular chapter. The forgetfulness is one of the worst enemies that actually we have to face on the path of the spiritual advancement. And of course there is the final misery that we are experiencing, which is generated from our own body and the mind itself. Mind will makes us think so many different kinds of things and put us in so many stressful situations and anxieties that will give us a lot of distress. And body itself, we know how prone towards disease it is. Every now and then something happens. I was just thinking this year, it's amazing, this year was quite purifying. I got sick a couple of times. And we usually forget, we think, oh, it's, you know, this body, it's, you know, it's such a wonderful machine, you know, actually, that can provide some kind of a pleasure. But what kind of pleasure it can provide? You know, you get cold, then you get some boils, then you get so many different kinds of things, then you get, again, you get cold, then you get this stuff and that stuff. Every now and then something pops out. So much misery. And we are still hoping that, yes, in this forest of the material world, there is some kind of a happiness. Then we can enjoy it through our senses, that we can enjoy it through our body. How can we enjoy? What kind of enjoyment is there? It's all basically just a misery. It's just an illusion. It's just artificial imposition upon our mind that we think that there is something, hey, that we can grasp, that we can find satisfaction in. But that's not a fact. So here, Puranjana is also in the forest of the material world, and he finds some object of enjoyment. He's bewildered. He's not aware of the situation. He doesn't know how the days and nights are quickly passing, and then he will end his life very soon. But he finds some object that he thinks that is going to satisfy his senses. An interesting thing when I was reading also this particular verse is that he approached, when he met that girl, he directly addressed her, which is in one way inappropriate and not a cultural thing to do. I mean, right, if you, there is some girl or whichever ashram you may be, actually to directly address somebody like this, it's not really inappropriate. But it's something that actually happened when we are under influence, when we are bewildered by the lusty desires, basically, as here it is expressed that Puranjana was. And he is directly addressing that girl, asking who she was, what kind of a work or business he might be having. That doesn't have anything to do with that particular lady. But somehow or other, being attracted, he is indirectly addressing her and pointing out that she is, and glorifying her, praising her qualities and her attraction. He is actually pointing out that if she doesn't have a husband, of course, kind of, it's a, it's not exactly sarcastic because he's trying to exploit the situation in some way for his own sense gratification. But he's addressing her, you appear to be very chaste, and you must be having definitely a most fortunate husband, because the husband who has you as a wife, he must be very fortunate, very happy. So he's thinking that if I get you as my wife, then definitely you will make me very happy and satisfied because you are so attractive and you will fulfill all of my desires. So this is how King Puranjana is thinking and addressing her as a Lakshmi herself, because Lakshmi, she is the one who grants all the opulences. And interestingly, just the contrary to what the way King Puranjana is describing, it is said that in the household life, when the husband and wife don't quarrel, when there is a very nice relationship among them, when they cooperate and pursue spiritual life together, that Lakshmi stays at that particular place and blesses that particular couple. So, King Puranjana, this is what he's hoping to attain by receiving such kind of a faithful and chaste wife. But he's disregarding the point is that she might be already somebody else's wife. But still, somehow or other, he's addressing her. Interestingly, Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport that actually Lakshmi, even though she is worshipable, she is not worshipable without her husband, Lord Vishnu. And many times people try to enjoy this material world for their own, as we were pointing out, sense gratification, not understanding that actually this external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead belongs to Krishna himself. It doesn't belong to them. Srila Prabhupada gives example here of a Ravana who kidnapped Sita and tried to enjoy her for his own sense gratification. And of course, he points out what was the end of the Ravana. So people nowadays, they try to worship separately Lakshmi in order to gain benefits from them and enjoy this material energy. But interestingly, what Srila Prabhupada says here at the end of the purport, he said that one can, however, enjoy that Maya bestowed upon the living entity by Lord Vishnu. So one can enjoy. Yes, but that enjoyment actually it's not factual. It's illusory enjoyment. It's just something that causes us misery and further entanglement in this material world. If we perform any activity, if we perform any work for our own sense gratification in order to enjoy this material world, then definitely we'll be bound. We'll be bound by that particular activities. So Krishna therefore is advising, of course, every activity has to be made for him. In that case, it is bhakti. It's not entangling. It's actually disentangling. So that's the science of the work, how to perform work. And Srila Prabhupada points out that the satisfaction of one's senses and desires remained enjoying Maya and not the goddess of fortune. So people strive for the goddess of fortune, but actually they achieve its shadow effect. They don't get the real substance. They get something that is like a shadow, that is hollow, that there is no any substantial satisfaction either. It's just some mental projection in our mind that we think that we can enjoy this material world. But it's not there. It's not there at all. So material energy or Maya, she, of course, if we pray, like to Durga, for example, if we pray with the idea that we want to serve Krishna, she's very welcome to bestow upon us so many different kinds of blessings. But if we pray to her and we try simultaneously and try to worship her with the intention to actually exploit her, then actually we will be cheated ourselves. We understand, if we study Shastras, that people who are worshipping demigods are actually less intelligent. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Alpamedasa, that those who worship demigods are less intelligent. Why they're less intelligent? Because actually they don't understand, first of all, that Krishna is the bestower of all the gifts that actually they're asking for. And without his sanction, nobody else can grant their desires. And second of all, that even when they ask for any particular desire, that desire itself, it's not beneficial. It's more entangling. If a son would ask a father, "My dear father, please give me some, like we have this Katmal mission. Please give me some poison. Please give me this to drink. It looks very nice. It's white like a milk." And then the father would think, "Oh, my dear foolish child, this is not like a milk. This is not like some kind of a lassi or, I don't know, this milkshake or whatever. This is poison. Please don't drink this." No, I want to drink. I want to take this. It looks very nice. The bottle is very attractive. It has all the bugs there and stuff like this. And maybe it's something interesting, something different. And then father definitely, because he understands what it is, he will never allow the son to drink such kind of thing. But if the son insists, of course, even then he won't allow. But material energy, sometimes it works in such a way that if persons are so insistent on attaining any particular gain, by exploiting the material energy, they get the chance to exploit it to a very minor degree. But because of that, they immediately get entrapped. They get a reaction for this. So actually, the real understanding of the worship of the demigods, it's not to extract anything from them or to get any desires fulfilled for sense gratification. But it's actually to worship them for the sake of attaining the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead, to attain the bhakti, to attain the relationship with Lord Krishna. And this is something that they can help us with. They can remove the obstacles. Like we prayed to Lord Shiva, gopis were praying to Katyayani to attain Krishna. And we were talking about prachetas earlier. So Lord Shiva came and blessed them. He gave them the real knowledge by which they could attain Krishna and his lotus feet. Whereas Ravana and the other demonic personalities who had that exploiting mentality, they approached also the same entities or the demigods, but since they asked for their own sense gratification, they just met with the ruin. They just actually, all their lives ended in a very negative way. So deities are there, yes, the demigods are there. They can bestow different kinds of blessings, but we have to be careful what we are asking for. They can be source of very helpful progress in a spiritual life, but also they can be very not so helpful again. Something that is quite opposite. They can lead us to the further entanglement here in this material world. If we ask and if we insist upon achieving particular desires that are not so beneficial in a spiritual way. Like here it is mentioned that many people worship Lakshmi separately from Lord Vishnu. And many times you will find on the altars or in the houses people keeping pictures or the deities and worshipping Lakshmi itself. One very interesting thing when I was traveling, remember in Tamil Nadu, there are a lot of private buses. So there was a, on the back side, there was a huge photo of Lakshmi and Ganesh together. Actually, Lakshmi was sitting on the Ganesh's lap. That's something actually that it's, I mean, from the point of view of somebody who understands the Shastra and the position of the demigods itself, it's something that's actually very offensive. And people think that by worshipping in such a mode, they're going to attain blessings by of those particular demigods. How can Ganapati keep on his lap Lakshmi, which is wife of Lord Vishnu? It's very offensive actually. Ganapati has his own two wives. Of course, there are different Ganapatyas, there are different Vinayakas. Some of them have 16 wives, some of them are brahmacharis also. But our Ganapati that is usually worshipped and which festival we had the chance to experience this last few days. He has also two wives and he's not keeping Lakshmi on his lap. He might be with his wives, but not the Lakshmi. And it's very offensive if, you know, it's actually unimaginable how to keep Ganesh and Lakshmi together. And why worshipping Ganesh? Of course, because he will give us wealth. If we worship Ganesh, he will give us wealth. He will give us all the opulences. And why worshipping Lakshmi? Because she is the source of all the, of course, another source of opulences in Lakshmi and the wealth. So, you know, why worshipping separately? So let us merge them together and somehow or other worship Lakshmi and Ganapati together. Such a concoction. This is when people don't understand the scriptures and they don't follow, they don't have any parampara, they don't have any understanding, as I was mentioning, about the position of the demigods itself. So they come with all these kind of concocted ideas. So what do you think? What will be the result of such kind of worship? If you merge, like Prabhupada said, mantras tu nishfalamataha. Mantras also, if anybody concocts, I like to sing in this way, I like to change the words in this way, in that way, there won't be any result. If mantra doesn't come from the beneficial source, from the parampara, from the, it's not connected with the original source, Krishna, through the disciplic succession, it won't have any effect. You may chant 10,000 for 10,000 years or in whichever way you want it, but there is no result. It's just waste of time and energy. And actually it becomes even offensive. And instead of advancing, person will become degraded and will have to, you know, undergo particular reactions for this. So in similar way, when people worship, like here it's explained, Srila Prabhupada points out in a purport, that intelligence, people are misusing intelligence, worshipping all these different goddesses that are expressed here, the wife of Brahma, Sarasvati, for knowledge. Who else is there? Parvati and the Lakshmi. People engage their intelligence, but actually that intelligence becomes polluted and actually it's leading them towards the degradation. So in similar way, when people concoct different kinds of worship and try to enjoy their senses in this terrible, frightening forest of the material world, they're actually further entangling and endangering themselves. But they think they're advancing and they're going to achieve some particular benefit out of that particular worship. So that's the greatest illusion that actually a person may be in. So therefore we have to inquire from the bona fide source. First of all, we have to find what is that source and what is the beneficial and the proper process to pursue that particular information that is given in that particular process, so that we can advance, so that we can benefit. And therefore this attachment that we find here in this material world, we shouldn't exploit this material energy. Ultimately, Srila Prabhupada points out, we have to understand it is energy that doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God Himself. And we don't have a right to exploit this energy. We can only utilize this energy in the service of God Himself. In this way, that's the proper way of action, actually. If we utilize it for ourselves, then we are like a thieves. And this is why also, that's another way Krishna, yes, in the third chapter points out, yes, we can worship demigods and give something in return. At least we'll come to that point initially where we understand that things don't belong to us. We have some gratitude, we understand, okay, somebody has been giving us something, so at least let us offer it something in return, or at least let us acknowledge this. So that's the first step to understand, hey, there is somebody superior to us. There is somebody else in this universe who actually is providing us so many different kinds of things. And we are not the one who are generating it, or we are not the one who are for whom all this basically is meant for. That's the first step in approach towards the spiritual life. And later on, of course, we have to understand what's the final goal. Who is that final and ultimate Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then what is our relationship with Him. So here in this forest of the material illusion, we have to understand that there is nothing really for us to search in for. It's just so frightening, so dangerous position that we should get out as soon as possible. And we shouldn't get deeper and deeper in. The deeper we get, the chances to get out, it's lesser and lesser. The further we get entangled in the creepers and the spider webs and whatever else might be there in the forest, the more we're going to suffer actually. And the more we're going to experience fear, and the more we're going to experience anxiety. First thing that that anybody can experience when he comes into the spiritual life, at least to some degree I had that experience, it's loss of fear, loss of anxiety and stress, because you understand what is the goal. You don't have any false illusions, to a larger degree at least, about this material world. So there is no fear, there is no anxiety. This is why people, when they come to the temple, they say, hey, it's such a peaceful, such a nice place. But that's not all, there is something much deeper. Ocean also is a very peaceful, nice place, but there is something inside, there is something there. Everybody have to dive. If you want to get pearls and jewels and stuff, you have to dive in, nice corals. So yes, it's a peaceful place, but we have to go further, pursue process further. So that's okay. But basic thing is also to understand that pursuing any kind of illusory idea of enjoyment here in this material world, it's just going to be futile. It's just futile. It's going to just make us more fearful, because even if we gain something, we'll be fearful about how to protect this, how to save this. And this is practically impossible in the material world. Nothing lasts forever. Everything is temporary. And this is going to be the greatest source of anxiety for us. Therefore it said, when person dies, it's like 40,000 scorpion bites. Why? It's not such a physical pain. It's a mental pain, because we're losing everything. The more we enter deeper into attachments of this material world, deeper into that forest, the more we're going to suffer actually. So we should keep something on the edge. We should get out as soon as possible. We shouldn't remain in this material world. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. For a very useful lecture, I benefited from this. Prabhuji, when you mentioned about the concoction of that Ganesh and Lakshmi in the South India vehicle, or somewhere you saw it, this reminded me of your illustrious Guru Maharaja, Sridhar Maharaj. 27 years ago, here in this class, I heard a remark by Maharaja, which is somewhat parallel. In that class, Maharaja had just come from a South India yatra, Tamil Nadu side, and he had been taken to the inner chamber of a old temple there by the pujari, and Maharaj saw on the wall a painting of Parthasarathi, and Krishna had a mustache. And Maharaj asked the pujari, how's this that Lord Krishna is having a mustache here? And the answer was told to him that in those days, all the chariot drivers used to wear mustaches. And then after saying this, Maharaj said, simply bogus. Simply bogus. Mm-hmm. Krishna is never yavanamcha. And like that. Mm-hmm. So in today's your concoction remark, I could see a parallel.
Actually,
it reminded me of your illustration.
Actually, that's in Chennai, Parthasarathy Mandir. The deity has a mustache, I think, and I saw in other places. So.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, what is the significance of a goddess of fortune always carrying lotus flower in her hand?
Lotus has a particular symbolic meaning. Lotus is a sign of prosperity and peace. And it's in the water also. It's not out of the water. That's one of the meanings. Of course, I don't know if Lakshmi for that reason is holding the lotus. But it signifies also like that, like living entities. Okay, I'll just come back and just focus on what you said. Why Lakshmi is having the lotus? I don't know. Lotus is such a... In Puranas, lotus is described as the most beautiful and the most important watery flower. I just read the other day, which Purana? I was just going through Garuda Purana. So lotus is described as the most beautiful, most important flower which comes out of the water. So, Devaknana Prabhu? The question is why Lakshmi is holding the lotus? Why lotus? Why not any other flower?
Well, the significance of the lotus, although it burns in mud, in water, no matter how much water comes, still lotus remains aloof from water. Same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the consent or his energy does not get contaminated. Even they come in material world. You know, this is just like lotus is of water. So even in material world, the Lord comes, but he always of the, you know, material modes of nature. Therefore, all his limbs are compared with Kamala or lotus, Kamalayan, Charan Kamal, etc., etc. The lotus is always above the water. So the Lord and his devotees, they are also above Maya all the time. Therefore, even to Guru, we sing Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhagati Sadma, like that Charana Kamal has been, you know, Hast Kamal, like that.
Explain.
What lotus?
Lotus is this kind of blessing, like Vishnu holding Sankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma.
Uh-huh.
Like Vishnu always holding Sankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma. The Chakra is the sign of protection. When demoniac, they are disturbing to the devotee, Lord Vishnu always protecting by Chakra. And flower, lotus flower is the sign of blessing. Through the lotus flower, Vishnu is blessing upon devotee. The same way, Lakshmi is also holding lotus flower, is a sign of blessing of his devotee. There is a four things, Sankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma. By two things, Krishna or Vishnu is protecting the devotee. And by two things, counsel and lotus flower, the sign of blessing or mercy.
Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.